Good morning.
Good morning.
Let me read our scripture for today from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 21. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his only one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. If we love, we love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. Thanks be to God for this good news from his holy word. Amen. Would you take just a minute and would you pray for me right now? Pray for yourself and the people in this room, and the fact that there are Christians all over the world trying to be centered around the good news of Jesus Christ. Would you pray that that happens right now? God, we need your good news. We need your good news in the midst of sin and strife. And we need your good news in the midst of evil. We need your good news in the shadow of death. Come, Lord Jesus, by the power of your Holy Spirit. Speak to us now, we pray. Renew our hearts. Correct us where we are astray. And lead us in the way of everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. When I was in college, in between, during the summer, a couple years, I worked at a peach orchard in Fredericksburg, where I went to high school. And one summer, there were some ranch hands at the peach orchard who had a donkey that they wanted to break in. For whatever reason, this donkey had not been broken in as like a colt. This was a full-size donkey that had never been ridden. It couldn't be a pack donkey or anything like that. And somehow I got involved in the breaking in of this donkey. Now, you can look at me and you may not be able to tell that I'm not a cowboy. I didn't grow up on a ranch. I didn't grow up bringing horses in. I didn't grow up riding donkeys. I know you're shocked, but that's the truth. And I got roped into this, no pun intended, but I got brought into the breaking in of this donkey, and they said, get on the donkey and stay on the donkey. Just, we're trying to teach the donkey that it can have someone safely on its back. So just stay on the donkey. I'm like, all right, I'm going to stay on the donkey. And of course, my pride is kicking in. I'm like, I can't fall off of this donkey. And I know enough to know that this donkey's going to try to get me off, but I'm like, I'm staying on. So they let the donkey go. I'm on the donkey's back. And the first thing that happens is the rodeo. The donkey is trying to kick me off. So the back legs are like kicking out. I'm like, okay, this isn't too bad. I think I'm all right. And I'm like holding on to the donkey, just trying to survive this. And soon enough, I mean, after a few kicks, the donkey stops kicking. And I'm like, I almost want to just jump off and celebrate. I broke the donkey in, but the donkey's not done. And so then the donkey, I'm in a pen that is surrounded by a barbed wire fence about the size of our fellowship hall, and the donkey heads straight for the fence and starts running as close as it can, actually scraping its own hide on the fence. And so I have to like pick my leg up and put it behind the donkey, and I look like I'm in some kind of like circus, you know, like I'm holding on with my leg out on the donkey and moving along like this. And at this point, the ranch hands, by the way, are like on the, they're like outside the pen on the ground laughing at me. And then I'm like, all right, so I'm still on the donkey. Then the donkey sees these like trees, these low-hanging trees that have branches that haven't been trimmed, and it's like, I'm gonna get this guy off from the trees. And so he goes for the trees, and I just hold on as tight as I can. I don't go this way. Don't do that, by the way. Don't try to go back on that one. Go like this. So I get down on the donkey, and I'm as close to this animal as I've been at this point. And it goes underneath the tree, and I get scratched up all on my back. Jennifer really likes this story. She's still laughing really hard. Anyway, finally the donkey was worn out and I was still on it. And I was like, yay, I did it, right? I stayed on the donkey. The guys are just laughing. I had some scratches. And I kind of felt for the donkey a little bit. I don't know, anyone in here feel a little compassion for the donkey? Maybe not. But friends, I think that entering Christian community, entering any community, unfortunately, is a lot like this experience that I had. When we enter into community, when we try to enter into life with other people, we end up in a situation not unlike the one I was in when I ended up on this donkey's back. Maybe we're like the donkey, right? Maybe we're in community and we're minding our own business. Have you ever been minding your own business in a community? And it seems like other people get more involved with you than you want them to. And suddenly you, maybe even unconsciously, are doing everything you can just to get them off. Maybe you've been hurt. Maybe, like the donkey, there's just a fear inside of you that's instinctual that says, I don't want somebody on me. And so, whether you mean to or not, maybe you cause harm in the midst of community because you're scared. And so you lash out, you do things that are maybe dangerous. Or maybe you're like I was in the story, and you enter a community with kind of this naive perspective, and you think, oh, this maybe is going to be fun. And you enter in, and you have these ideas of what could happen, and hey, if I enter into this community, get to know these people, maybe it could be really good. And you end up instead putting your life in peril. And so maybe you're not in physical danger in a community, but have you experienced that as you enter community, sometimes there's emotional damage or spiritual damage of our hearts? And so I really do think that entering into community is not unlike the story that I just told you about trying to ride a donkey. We either are the donkey or we're the rider or we're both. And what I want to focus on about this story is fear. Fear was really the driving force for the entire incident. I think, first of all, the owner of this donkey was afraid that the donkey was going to be a waste and thought, hey, if this donkey's not broken in, then it's not going to be able to function in all the ways that I want to use this donkey. And so there was fear maybe that motivated that. And then there was certainly fear in the donkey, right? There was this instinctual desire to just get me off so that it wouldn't be harmed and wouldn't end up in the trouble, whatever in its mind they thought would happen, didn't want that to happen. And so fear is this huge motivator that actually ends up defining that story, but defining community. We end up entering communities. We end up entering love, desiring to have love because of fear. Fear drives us into community, but fear is also the very same thing that keeps us from community. Another image that I often talk about and use is the image of porcupines in the winter. Porcupines in the winter are in the freezing cold, and if they are alone, their body heat is not enough to keep them from freezing to death. But when they come together, they huddle up, what happens? Those porcupines back up against each other, and everybody ends up poked. That's also what it's like in community, is that there's fear, and yet we're driven into it, and yet it hurts. And so we come to this word in Scripture that I want you to say with me in just a minute. I'll read it for you, and then I want you to repeat it to me. There is no fear in love. Say that. There is no fear in love. One more time. There is no fear in love. It's very important to know that I think what the writer means here is that this particular love that's being talked about in the Bible, the love of God, there is no fear in it. The reason that's important is because the fear that people at this time knew about and the fear that we are most acquainted with is actually a love. The love we're most acquainted with is actually a love that's dictated by fear. And so for the writer to say that there is no fear in love is to distinguish this kind of love from the kind of love we are most familiar with. And let me explain what I mean by that. You might be thinking, no, fear doesn't dictate love. But it does for me. So for example, I am driven into love because of fear. I'm afraid of being alone. I'm afraid of being unrecognized. I'm afraid of being invalidated. I'm afraid of being unappreciated. And so I tend to love the people and the things that make me feel appreciated, acknowledged, validated, and not lonely. Anybody want to nod your head with me? I tend to love the things that help abate my fear. And so fear is a primary motivator in my love relationships. I mean, there are obviously some relationships that I've been in, like my parents from the beginning, that I didn't choose because of that. But I return to my relationship with my mom and dad. I just had a conversation this week that because of some stuff that there's fear in my life of loneliness and abandonment and all that stuff that we deal with even as adults, I'm calling my mom and dad. Why? Because there's a fear that drives me to that love. And so fear is actually a motivator in the love relationships we enter. Fear is also often the thing that stops us from loving. So let me give you some examples of that. I often choose not to love, and I don't do this consciously. I never sit to myself and go, I'm not going to love that person. But subconsciously, if I reflect, I often tend not to enter into a love relationship or enter into godly love with someone because I'm afraid. First of all, I get afraid, and some of you will right away identify with this. Others will be like, what a horrible person that you do this, right? Whatever. And I have dreams and aspirations, and I have an agenda. I'm a pastor, and that agenda is, I think, a pretty good one. And yet, that often means that I look at people and I think about, how do they fit into this plan? Has anybody ever looked at other people and thought, how could they fit into my plan? Maybe not. There's a handful of you that are like, don't say any more. But you look at people and you go, how could they fit into my plan? And when I love someone, if I'm going to love that person, that means that suddenly I can't use them as easily. That if I love them, that means I have to be open to them. It means I have to be patient to them. It means I have to listen to them. It means I have to honor who they are. And I can't just use them as a pawn on my chessboard. And so I'm afraid to love because of that. I'm afraid to love for more reasons than that. I'm afraid particularly to love people who are wrong. You know anybody in your life who's just wrong about something important? Maybe they're wrong about politics, or they're wrong about a theological point, or they're just wrong as a person. I mean, you got family members, you know who I'm talking about, that are just wrong. And we don't want to love people who are wrong. And this is why I'm afraid. I'm afraid that if I love you when you're really wrong, that you're going to think you can be wrong. That if I love you and you're wrong, that I'm giving you permission in your wrongness. And more furthermore, I'm afraid that if I love you and you're wrong, that maybe you won't know that I'm right because I love you and you don't need to know that I'm right. Am I crazy? Am I the only one who's afraid of these things? And so I don't enter into love all the time because I'm afraid. But I also am afraid that if I love someone, maybe they're going to take advantage of my love. Has that ever happened? I'm afraid that if I love someone, that maybe they're not going to appreciate or recognize the cost and price of my love. I'm afraid that if I love someone sometimes, that maybe I'll love them and I'll lose them. There's been people we've loved and lost. There are so many fears that can keep us from loving. There are so many fears that can keep us from entering into loving community. What I've tried to do is persuade you, convince you, maybe have you think that love is actually intermingled with fear, isn't it? In our motivation to love and in our reasons not to love. And that is why it is so important that we hear the words of Scripture. that I just taught you a minute ago, there is no fear in love, in this kind of love. There is fear in the kind of love we're most familiar with, but there is no fear in this kind of love. What does that mean? What it simply means is that we're talking about the love of God. And can I say today and get somebody a little bit excited maybe that God isn't afraid? God ain't scared. God is not driven by fear in any way, shape, or form. We do not serve and know a God who is afraid. God does not love us because God's driven by fear. God did not create, some people think this, I wonder, but God did not create the world because God's lonely. God did not create us so that we would acknowledge God. God did not make everything so that God might be validated. God loves us freely. God's love is pure. God does not decide not to love you. God does not decide not to love me because I'm wrong or you're wrong. Hallelujah. I mean, if it was a prerequisite to God's love that we be right, we'd be in a lot of trouble. And yet God says, no, I know that you're wrong, and I'm going to love you, and you might continue being wrong. God loves us so that we might become right. But God does not love us because we're right. God doesn't fear that we won't acknowledge God's love. God doesn't fear that we won't validate God. Thanks be to God that God is not afraid. Thanks be to God that in Jesus Christ, God did not fear laying down all that he had for people who lived in fear. And what the story of the gospel is that God begins showing us anew that love, perfect love, is without fear. It's not motivated by fear. It's not driven by fear. It's not responding to fear. It goes further to say perfect love casts out fear. There's another passage in this scripture that I think is so important and is so helpful for us as we think about this sermon series we're in, which is finding community in a fragmented world, is this word in verse 8, whoever does not love does not know God. Would you say that one with me? I'll say it again. Whoever does not love does not know God. One more time. Whoever does not love does not know God. First, I thought that was kind of a harsh thing. I've read that through the years, but I've realized it's a gracious thing. And what that means is that when we look in the world and we see a failure to love, have you looked in the world and seen a failure to love? Have you ever seen in your family a failure to love? Or seen in the church a failure to love? Or seen in your neighborhood or school or elsewhere a failure to love? That the first thing that we often think of is that someone is just bad, or that we don't like them because they fail to love. This tells me that if there is a failure to love, it is because God's love is unknown. Think about that. I think the scriptures are saying, if you are not seeing the love of God, then it's because the love of God is unknown. I think that can be true even with Christians. I think in my own life there are moments when I am not loving with the love of God. And in those moments, it's when I have somehow forgotten or gotten focused on a lesser love. Right? Even as a Christian, there are times where my love fails. And my love has never failed when I have been focused on the love that I'm receiving from Almighty God. When I am beloved, I'm able to love. When I forget that I'm beloved, that's when I love the worst. Even as a Christian. And so it makes me think that what our task is not to get angry when someone fails to love. There's going to be a failure to love all around you every day. Amen? Amen. Our task then becomes to ask the question, how might I make the love of God known so that love might reign without fear? See the difference, perspective? That's how we create community in a fragmented world. Fear fragments us. Love unites us. So let me give just a couple of ways that I think this can happen for us. In our church, I think that number one, in our church, but also as Christians in our workplaces, schools, in our world, wherever you experience people trying to fitfully love one another and failing at it, Number one, if you see a failure to love, would you assume that in that failure to love, that maybe God's love is not known? Even among Christians, we need to do this for each other. So within the church, if there's someone who's a Christian who fails to love, maybe we should assume, hey, for whatever reason in this moment, I don't know if they know the love of God. You think that's probably true? Number two, when you fail to love, see, this is what I do. When I fail to love, I try harder. When I fail to love, I feel guilty. When I fail to love, I feel ashamed of who I am. Anybody else experience those things? When I hurt the people around me, I just am harder on myself. And instead, what I would ask you to do and myself to do is that when we fail to love, that we might imagine that maybe we've disconnected ourselves from the knowledge of the love of God, right? That we need to return to a place where we are aware of God's love for us and we know it personally. And that we would remember, friends, that what the world needs is God's love. You're going to hear a million songs about love. You're going to read poems about love. You're going to see movies about love. But can we get honest that that love that we see in our culture is not the same love as the love of God? And can, as a church, we acknowledge that we are the people who are meant to know the love of God so that God's love might reign in us and we might be able to show that perfect love that is without fear to the world, and that in and through us, God might cast out fear. And that in this world that is fragmented by fear everywhere, that we might be able to share the love of God to the kingdom of God to come upon the earth. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I want to invite up Andy Welker. I mentioned in the last service, Andy is the less famous of the Welkers. Jennifer Welker's here with him, the famous one. Jennifer, as many of you have been praying for her, has just entered a new season of her treatment for colorectal cancer. And so far, I think it's been a good thing. We'll see, it's very early, but we're praying for you, Jennifer. And Andy and Jennifer have been a part of the new Wineskin Initiative in our church. Something that I invite all of you to learn more about. It's something that I hope everyone feels welcome to participate in some way. But Andy and Jennifer were with me in my neighborhood last year. Spent a year with us in training and learning. Now they've launched into their own neighborhood, trying to love their neighbors and share the love of God. And so Andy's going to talk a little bit about how he's experienced the love of God through the New Wineskin Initiative. Thank you, Andy.
Thank you. Like I said, last service, I'm perfectly fine being the less famous of the Welker family,
yeah, right,
in this situation. So, Ray had asked me to talk today about a reflection on the sermon. And one of the things I was thinking is, before the Wineskin Initiative, before we got started with that, I certainly was somebody that felt loved by my family and friends. I loved my family and friends, but that was really probably the extent of it. I certainly didn't go out of my way to love strangers and much less my enemies. It's not something that really comes natural to me to try to reach out to people that don't like me or that have trespassed against me. So we started Ray's group, and I guess that's the other thing I'd say is I also would never have even differentiated between just human love and divine love, God's love, to say, you know, oh, this is, there's a really big difference there, right? I mean, it's not something that you necessarily just experience just every day. But we started the Wineskin Initiative in Ray's neighborhood, and two things happened in my eyes pretty quickly. Is, you know, one is we were trying to be very intentional about being missionary disciples in the neighborhood and meeting new neighbors in Ray's neighborhood, Pastor Ray's neighborhood, and trying to reach out to other people, bring God's love to other people, and share God's love. And that was a new experience for me. But secondly, and this wasn't even part of the original goals, but we had this core group. Other than Pastor Ray, I really didn't know the other people in the group that well to start. I think Jennifer knew, you know, a couple of them, but I truly didn't. And within weeks, as you can imagine, if your wife goes through 3.5 years of a cancer battle, not every day goes like you think, and not every day is a wonderful bright and shiny day, and it doesn't go how you would have scripted it when you wake up. So we had some days that were really tough, and I remember one specifically where we got some bad news, and we had a meeting that night at Pastor Ray's house, and we went there, and this group that we had known for a few weeks loved us so much, and they supported us so much that we truly went home that night, and we were talking, we said, we feel so blessed. I mean, we just got some pretty horrible news, but we feel so blessed tonight to be a part of this group that just loves us unconditionally. And I just have to think that is just a glimpse of God's divine love right there. That's not just your normal human, you know, oh, I love you. This is divine love directed right at us. And that was a pretty good feeling. So now we've kind of moved into doing a group in our neighborhood. And we have a really good core group that we're starting with. And we've had a few neighborhood events. And we're just starting to break through and really start connections with new neighbors. And it, for me, it's always been fun just to get a group of friends together and do something. But now, passing that on and trying to reach out to strangers, people that we don't even know yet that live right around us, and that's just a new experience for me. And as I reflected on it, when I was thinking about what I was going to say, I said, you know, for me, and maybe not the same for everybody, but it's really about being intentional. This conscious intentionality of trying to reach people that you don't know yet. I mean, how do you even know who you're going to talk to? But trying to reach out to people and show them God's love and love them, and you don't even know what's going to happen. And I think that's what's exciting about the Wineskin Initiative is we've seen along the last couple of years, or almost a couple of years here, just so many times where God's just revealed himself to us and revealed paths to us that we had no idea we were even going to be in, you know, in our direction. And that's what's exciting, is thinking about the future and what that holds through doing this, and truly being intentional about loving each other.
Amen. God, we thank you so much for this love that we can sing about, a love that is true, that is eternal, a love so filled with grace and goodness and forgiveness and hope. God, we need this love as we go from this place. Help us to not be afraid to admit how much we need your love. Help us to not be afraid to admit how much work and time it might take to receive your love in our lives. Help us to not be afraid to make space in our lives to receive your love. And help us to go from this place today and to, as we receive your love, give it to others. May we have a love in this church and in this world that is unhindered by fear. And may we have a love that casts out fear in our world that is so broken and fragmented. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for loving us with such perfect love. We pray in your holy name. Amen.